Stand by for the latest episode of the Signal 50 podcast with your hosts, Bravo and Alpha, two lifelong friends that swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Stand by for broadcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for joining us again on the Signal 50 podcast with your co-hosts, Kilo, Bravo, and myself, Alpha. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a while since we've done a show. Life has been a little bit crazy, so we would love to bring you more content, and we're going to keep Kilo on as a permanent fixture of the show for as long as he'd like to join us. He's more than welcome. So, Kilo, how have you been, my friend?
Oh, I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in, and not bad for an old man, sir. Thank you for having me back.
Old. You and I are the same age, along with Alpha. I don't want to hear about old. Old is only a state of mind.
I beg to differ.
Oh, but you guys are all a bunch of whining, crybaby old men.
Yeah.
Grumpy. Grumpy old men.
Yeah, I work with liberals. What do you want? It rubs off. It's a struggle.
Yeah, tell that to my back when I'm trying to put my socks on in the morning. Jeez. Well, anyhow, everybody, thanks a lot for joining us. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we take this opportunity to sit and reflect upon our honored war dead, and we just wish everybody to have an honored Memorial Day weekend, not a happy weekend. It's not happy. It's a time to reflect. And unfortunately, we have a lot of reflection yet to do in the future. So, you know, I hate to be a downer, but that kind of is what it is. And it kind of pisses me off when people say, have a happy Memorial Day. It's like, it's not happy.
No. It's supposed to be somber. It's supposed to be honored. You're supposed to remember the people that sacrificed both, you know, in the ultimate sacrifice of giving their lives, but also to our airmen, Marines, soldiers, sailors who sacrificed parts of their body or their minds.
That's right. That these guys write a big check, you know, when they sign up. So we have to do our best to honor that. So, you know, anyhow, all that being said, you know, listen, out and about, you know, today everybody's out, you know, the holiday weekend, and it's busy, and you know, great beer sales. You know, Bud Light is like, we'll pay you to take three cases out of here for us, please. You know, it's insane.
I would not be caught with that urine tasting beer anywhere. No way.
What would you know? I think you've only had two beers in your entire
life. That's true, but I don't drink that much. But still, I remember when the Super Bowl was going, and it was Bud Light versus Bud, and, you know, the bottles were running around. That was great. It was, like, really good stuff. And now, all of a sudden, they totally submarined their entire operation by bringing in, who was that guy?
Mulvaney. Dylan Mulvaney.
Dylan Mulvaney.
That dude.
Does he identify as a she?
How about an it?
I try to keep my mouth shut about that because I don't want to be ignorant or anything. You know, we were chatting earlier, and I was thinking about there. I think the reason a lot of this has just gotten so out of hand is that there have to be certain areas of our lives where we don't have to have some virtue signaling agenda. And I don't care what the agenda is, if it comes from the far left or the far right, jammed down our throats. We should be able to watch a ball game or a hockey game or an athletic event and not have to deal with it. And you should be able to have a glass of beer without getting pissed off. People drink that glass of beer to relax, you know? And the folks, this woke movement has overplayed its hand. And I think we are going to start to see it implode. And from this person's perspective, it can't happen soon enough.
Amen.
I agree. You know, it's really interesting. I had to go run a couple of errands today. I had to go to, you know, the orange place with the, you know, the building materials to go pick up something there. And on the way past, there's a Target on the left and there's a Walmart down the street on the right. Okay. Normally on a Sunday, 1 o'clock ish in the afternoon kind of time frame, you can't get anywhere near Target. Cannot get anywhere near it. Gents, let me tell you something. You could fire a cannon in the parking lot and you wouldn't have hit a car.
Wow.
Rockstar parking.
Exactly. You drive down the street 300 yards to the Walmart. The parking lot is packed. There's people waiting to get in the door. It is insane.
Like holiday shopping, it sounds like.
Oh, well, yeah. In my Walmart, it's holiday shop lifting. But, yes, it's stunning. It's stunning.
So the saying, get woke, go broke, is alive and well, hopefully?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, keep at it, boys. That's what I say. Let them have it. The more crazy it becomes, eventually it's going to flame out on itself. And the part that bothers me, the economic impacts are one thing, but the social and the emotional and the mental and the psychological impacts that this nonsense is having on children who don't know better and didn't do anything wrong, it's going to impact us for generations to come. So the sooner that it's done, the sooner we can start healing and I think move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, yeah, exactly. I agree. And I look at it like this. You know, you get your people that, they go get a job at one of these retail establishments. Okay. They work there and they make a wage and they're taking care of their families and they're contributing to their family financial well-being that way. You know, these decisions that are being made to play along with the church of what's happening now really has a very disparate impact on folks that work there, and they've done nothing other than just go to work every single day. Mm. You know, they could lose their jobs. You know, Target lost what, $10 billion in market share?
Good. That's what they get.
Well, good. Yes. For making that decision. But you know, there are people there that weren't part of that decision-making process that are going to get hurt. So it's people need to be a little bit more, you know, stop playing activist and start selling widgets. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, it's funny to sit there and say, well, let's boycott and let's do all this kind of stuff. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to shop. I speak loudest. I've always said it. Bravo. You've always said it too. I speak the loudest with my wallet.
Yeah. Well, but I'll tell you the biggest thing I heard when they had this, tuck friendly bathing suits for kids and a bunch of other stuff for trans, I was like, this is crazy. And kids don't even know the difference between, you know, where their food is coming from or where, you know, mommy and daddy, you know, provide for them. I don't need to have my kids sexualized right now.
Well, the thing about it is this, you know, the LGBT thing and the LGBTQ thing, that's fine. Fine. That's for adults. Okay. That's for adults. You want to do that. And if you're a retailer and you want to sell LGBTQ friendly stuff for adults, fine. Where Target really dicked up and where everybody seems to be going overboard, and that's a whole separate discussion, is they went right after the kids.
They want control.
This is really evil. This is really evil stuff.
Besides, okay? Yeah, and I agree with you. It's evil, but they want to indoctrinate these kids, our kids, so that they can carry on the communist manifesto here in America. And this, again, comes right back to the original statement, which we've talked about on the show numerous times. Stop imposing your value system on me. I always respect other people's views and other people's opinions, but I don't impose my values on you. Stop imposing your values on me. And that's the way it has to be. Until they leave the kids alone, I hope Target has to close up a billion stores and you know, and tough. You know, that's what happens when you do something stupid like that, because what do I always say? Facts are facts. Made a stupid decision, live with it.
Well, you know, look, you know, don't, because I don't agree with you, don't demonize me.
Right.
You know, and don't label me something I'm not, and stay away from kids, because that's really the issue here.
Yeah,
now don't care about.
We've gone past the Communist Manifesto and we've gotten into the Epstein Manifesto, and that's just twisted.
Oh,
right. And so, you know, I think back to when we were growing up. If you remember when Ronald Reagan was president and Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House, different political parties, different ideologies. But when it came down to matters of importance, you had a Republican president and a Democrat Speaker of the House that were able to get some business done on behalf of the nation. And it was never, you know, political attacks. Nobody's, you know, fiber, their being or their soul was questioned because they had a disagreement. One side wasn't looking to weaponize a police force and put the other side in jail. I mean, this is stuff in my travels that I've seen all over the world in third world countries. And it makes me incredibly sad to think that if we continue present course, that's where we're headed. I don't think the average rank and file citizen of this country understand what that means.
I'd like to pull on that thread just a little bit with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we have a long list of topics we wanted to discuss, but Kilo, you raised something very important. In what you just said is very important. And we're going to get into some of these topics later, and this is going to kind of be part of the theme of the show. I think a lot of this and the reaction that you're getting and the weaponization of politics, the weaponization of language, the weaponization of sexuality, this, that, and the other thing, and things are not reasonable anymore because there's a – I hate to say it. There's a criminal conspiracy that's been going on in this country for a number of years that is being, they're trying to distract us from a criminal conspiracy that's been happening in this country for a number of years. And this is how they've chosen to do it. And the whole Epstein Island thing, that's a show unto itself. That whole issue can we could talk about that for hours, but what are they hiding? Is what are they covering up for? Why did they choose sexualization of children as the issue that they want to die on? Why? Because it's an emotional thing, right?
Because it's so shocking. And this is what I think. It's so shocking that anyone would even think about sexualizing children this young of an age, that, and combine that with mass formation hysteria, where people just want to get along and be part of the gang, and they don't want to be the ones that stand up there and say this is wrong, because they're going to be ostracized, because we're now in a culture of cancel culture, and you'll lose your place in society, and they'll take away everything that you hold near and dear, because that's the emphasis that we've been placing on everybody, that they feel emboldened that they can go right after the kids. And they also believe wholeheartedly that my child is their child, which I will jump up and down and say, no way, that my child is not yours. It's my child, my responsibility, and you will have nothing to do with it. And well, the saying that I grew up with, and Kilo, you may remember this, I don't care what happens outside the house, I worry about what's inside this house that goes on.
I remember it well, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I set this discussion up this way for a reason. You know, we start out with this topic, which is, you know, I feel dumber for having to even discuss this, right?
Absolutely.
Because this is complete nonsense.
100%.
So let me ask a question. Do people know more about everyone boycotting Target because they have child talk friendly bathing suits? Or do they know more about what's really going on in Ukraine? Think about that one for a minute.
So let's ask the question, what is going on in Ukraine? The hard truth, which is what we address in this show.
Kilo, you have a background. Take it away. What's your opinion?
Well, this is, in my humble opinion, the views are not endorsed by the owners of the Signal 50 podcast, or they may be. I don't know, we'll have to see. You know, I think this was a wag the dog distraction operation discussion on the schoolyard that got out of hand and went horribly wrong on steroids. You know, and it is a good example of what happens when you have blind hatred based on a narrative. And what in this case is that narrative? Vladimir Putin bad. Vladimir Putin bad. Okay. I think anybody with half of a functioning brain cell can look at the way that Vladimir Putin has maintained law and order in his country, his nation. And I don't think any of us are going to be nominating him for a Humanitarian of the Year award.
Okay. Nope.
Not anytime
not me.
Soon.
Nope.
Right?
That's a negative, Kilo. Negative.
No. Okay. So, you know, he is not known for kind and gentle handling of people who oppose him. And when he wanted a divorce from his wife, what did he do? He had her committed and married one like a third of his age. So, you know, I'm not going to say he's the best dude in the neighborhood because he's not. But because we hated him so much, you know, anybody who opposed him is inherently good. And what folks don't realize is Comrade Zelensky, he's no better. Because he was a stand-up comic and did some acting, he knows how to play to people. He knows how to play people. He knows how to get their emotion in a good way and manipulate them. But this man sent his jackbooted thugs into Orthodox Christian services and yanked bishops in their 70s and their 80s off the altar in the middle of Mass. How is that any worse than what Putin did? You know,
it's not.
That's right. And so we're being told in this country, you know, Zelensky good, Ukraine good. Well, here's the problem. When you have people in power that have accepted political donations, and I'm going to call them what my ignorant self sees it as, bribes, from both sides, well, now you can't pick a side. So the only thing you can do is keep sending money to essentially fund both sides of the war. Because if you fund Ukraine, somebody else is going to have to fund the other side as well. Otherwise, this whole thing, you know, disappears like a 30-second fight on the school ground.
So what you're saying is that not only is Ukraine and Russia acting like puppets and being pulled, so the question that I have is, who's pulling the strings? Is it the United States that uses it as a piggy bank that we've had biological, you know, laboratories, research labs that were looking to cause, the biological weapons and things like that, along with, you know, money that was being laundered for Biden?
Sure. I think that's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the time when we were young men to where we are now, I've watched some things through different lenses in my life. And here's what I've seen. What people can't get or what they can't do at home, they always find someplace else to do it. When I was on active duty before, you know, many years before I retired, the squadron that I was part of used to always seem to go to Thailand a lot. There's an air base in Utapao, Thailand, and without fail, the plane always used to break down in Utapao, Thailand. And why is that? Well, because there's a lot of stuff that went on in Thailand that you couldn't get in the United States or Great Britain or France or Germany. You know, you want to fool around with a 14 or 15-year-old girl or boy? That's legal in Thailand. So people always want to go someplace where they, you know, why are certain things banned in this country on the internet, but not other places or vice versa, right? So with the bio labs, we have laws that says, hey, we signed the Geneva Convention. We're not supposed to be fiddling around with this stuff. Well, that's here in our United States territories and bases. But, you know, over in the you know, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, whateveristan. If you've got the money, they don't care what you're doing behind that fence. So I think, yes, there is that component as well. In this case, you know, Biden is in the hot seat. There are certainly, you know, Republican leaders who were in the same boat. But right now, we're talking about who's in the chair right now. In the service, whoever is in command, it is their responsibility. And the biggest issue that I have, the biggest insult that I feel as a veteran and a retired leader in one of our armed services is, if I did my job the way the president did is doing his job, I would have been court-martialed and probably summarily executed. This is bordering on treasonous. You are giving money to jackbooted thugs? You change some of the particulars, black out the names and the faces. This is the stuff that Hitler and Mussolini did. And I don't know. I mean, bravo, you and I went through the same high school curriculum. I don't want to lecture anybody out there over in cyberspace, but I think the best way I can sum it up is that was bad. So I don't understand how we went from being bad to, well, this is okay. It's not.
So I think the reason why it's gone like that, and Alpha, I think, you know, we've talked about this also, is the elitism, the feeling that, you know, we ask why on this program, and then we say no, and then show us the evidence. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking why. Why do people feel this way? Because they can.
Yes.
They are able to. They're enabled. They're allowed to. There's no accountability. Even kids today would stare on their phones and play whatever games that are on there to receive, you know, or text, you know, I've seen kids texting instead of calling them up or going to their house to play. I mean, it's just not, it's just made.
Could you imagine sitting around your dinner table with your father or sitting around my dinner table with my father when one of them were speaking to either or both of us and pulling out a phone and start texting?
I would be...
There is a certain part of my anatomy that shrinks up at a rapid rate of speed thinking about what the horrible result would be. And it's because, why? We respected them enough not to do that. You know, we respected them as our elders and as our parents. You know, you listen to what they had to say. My children are all grown up, graduated from high school, college. Thank God. I worry about the folks who have kids in public schools these days. And I say public schools, you know, the private schools, some of them have their own issues. Not going to say that they don't. But the mass brainwashing and hysteria provoking and, you know, all they're doing is teaching our children how to be victims and how to be chronically upset and triggered. And so when they see this stuff come on, when, you know, for three men like us who see jackbooted thugs walking into a church or a temple or a mosque or whatever the Buddhists have, I'm kind of ignorant there, I guess a temple, right?
It's a temple, yeah.
To see religious leadership dragged off in the middle of a service is horrifying. Our kids today don't think about it because from a young age in a public school, what do they tell you about God? Oh, no, you can't talk about God.
Can't pray either. Nope, there's no praying.
You can't have any faith. The only faith you should have is in this government and this mindset. And so I think that's a big reason why things are as mixed up as they are right now. I'm all for freedom of religion. I'm also for freedom from religion. If you don't want to practice any type of religion or faith in this country, at least for a little bit longer, that's your right. But I think that was tested in this most recent pandemic because, heaven forbid, you said you didn't believe in a spike or a jab. They wanted to burn you at the stake. So I think when you extrapolate it out further and further, any of the things that we're talking about today, that's where that mindset comes from. We taught, you know, what did one of my favorite human beings on the planet there, Dr. Anthony Fauci, used to say? Follow the science, right? That's what he used to say. Except, well, what happens when the science doesn't go where you... Well, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to what I'm telling you now.
I will say that I in a previous career, I was teaching evidence-based medicine.
Yep.
And I always told the students, I said, do not read the journal discussion and the conclusion with bias towards what you want to read. Mm-hmm. Read it for what it says and take that information and bring it to your patients. The whole idea that we are conflating what we want by fact is one of the other issues, because our children are not taught how to critically think during school.
That's right. They're taught what to think.
That's right.
Not how to think.
And back, back in the day, both. Yep.
And I think a big part of the problem with what's going on, you know, pulling the conversation back a little bit, is the mainstream media is not media. They're not telling the story. They're not telling the truth about what's going on in Ukraine. We keep hearing that the Ukrainians are taking back Bakhmut. They keep telling that the Ukrainians are dealing the Russians' blows and they're winning and this, that, and the other thing. All we need to do is keep sending money and Patriot missile systems, and now they want F-16s, and now we've got special forces on the ground over there. Because don't even tell me for a minute that you can take a Ukrainian kid, teach him how to run a Patriot missile battery, and send it over there in a year. Kilo, am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're not wrong at all.
Who's running them? American contractors.
That's right. That's right.
And what are the Russians doing to all that billions of dollars worth of equipment we're sending over there? What are they doing?
Well, they're stealing what they can. And, blowing up what they can and using their research and development processes to make stuff better than what we have. You know,
let me ask a question. Are we using hypersonic missiles?
I have no doubt that we are.
You have no doubt?
Yeah.
Do you think we're using them over there?
If they are, they're not doing a really good job.
Right.
But I think it's a testing ground.
Well, I think this is a great it's a great laboratory. However, you know, we have to take that and put that off to the side and consider how much money we're spending on this and how many lives this is costing. And nobody is sitting there talking about sitting down and talking about a peace deal.
No. But they didn't from the start, Alpha. I mean, again, the hatred. And again, I'm sure this could be another topic for another show. The hatred for President Donald Trump was worse than the hatred for Vladimir Putin. But the rage and the hatred towards Putin was so vast and so intrinsic with some people that you could not even have a rational discussion about why this whole thing with Ukraine kicked off in the first place, just from a geopolitical standpoint. I remember when all of this started, Bravo and I went to high school with what I will call a rabid Ukrainian. Rabid. And he was in our friend group. And I there are certain parts that I love about him to this day. But if it was, you know, he saw the world, he was very Ukrainian-centric. And I remember a time we had a discussion. I said, yo, if it is so flippin' fantastic, you know, back in Kiev, any particular reason you're still here? If it was so wonderful, why did your family all leave there and come here? You know, could never get an answer to that.
Bingo. But
when all of this started, he and I had a conversation. And it was just, you know, anti-Putin, anti-Putin, anti-Putin. And I said, well, I need you to take a breath for a second and hear me out. Would you agree that John Fitzgerald Kennedy, regardless of your political, you know, ideology or theory or belief, would you say he was a halfway decent president? I mean, he checked all of the blocks for the time, right? He was a World War II veteran, PT-109, you know, kept his crew motivated when the ship got torpedoed. You know, his personal dalliances, I try not to get into because most of them have them. Regardless of which side you're on, most of them play their home and away games. Well, yeah, he was a good leader. Okay. he almost took the world to the brink of war because he believed that we had to not only enforce the Monroe Doctrine, he made it the Kennedy Doctrine. And he took us almost to where nuclear missiles were flying across both directions of the ocean because nuclear warheads were pointed at us 90 miles away. Right? Well, yes. Okay. Did we have a right to be upset that those warheads were pointed at us 90 miles away? Of course we did. Well, don't you think the Russians have the right to be upset when, you know, this type of stuff is literally on their front doorstep?
Absolutely.
So and we had the opportunity to make things better. We didn't. We made it worse.
And if you look at a NATO map and the expansion of NATO, Poland and all the countries around Russia were starting to move in on their territory.
That's right.
When we were supposed to have buffers and not expand.
Again, we were all young men in the early 90s when this was decided, when the Soviet Union broke up and it was other, and we gave our word as a nation that we were not going to encourage these other nations, these former Soviet satellites, to join NATO. And what did we do? We broke our word.
Well, and we even took it a step further in Ukraine. I think everybody's old enough to remember that the last leader of Ukraine was literally a democratically elected leader, right?
Yes, sure was.
And what did our CIA and our government do?
Took him out.
We deposed him.
Yep. Color revolution.
Exactly. It was a color revolution. And our hands are not exactly clean in this deal. So we need to be a little bit, a little less cavalier about how we're talking about this. And we keep sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. We keep being told that what we're doing is making a difference. The only difference we're making is we're getting more people killed. And we're just costing the U.S. taxpayer billions of dollars with no return.
Well, the country of Poland, if you do some research on other news agencies aside from U.S.-based ones, Poland is being overrun. The geopolitical landscape and sociological landscape of their country is changing. You know, it's...
Yes, it is.
A decade from now, I mean, it's not good now. It's going to be worse then. They fought two world wars in the last century over stuff like this.
Well, this is going to go nowhere good. You know, this heads nowhere good really, really fast. You know, we talked in this conversation about Ukraine. We talked about our meddling in there. We talked about doing things that we shouldn't have been doing because, you know, nobody's going to look in Ukraine for the bioweapons labs that we're not supposed to have. It's kind of like being on a 3-day pass in Subic Bay, right?
Right.
So it becomes a real problematic situation. Where you have a lot of politicians in this country that have a lot to lose. You know, this, the whole Russia, Russia, Russia thing was nothing more than a distraction from what they were really doing over there to go ahead and to make sure that a person like Donald Trump, who wasn't on the inside of this deal, went ahead and got labeled and isolated, ginned up hatred against Putin to tee up for maybe a war in Ukraine to protect their money laundering operation. And, you know, that leads us on to the next topic. You know, we have to move along a little bit here. You know, the whole Russiagate situation was spawned out of a Hillary Clinton's email problem that she had of passing classified information to the President of the United States through unsecured channels, right?
Correct.
Is that Hillary Clinton's problem or is that a Barack Obama problem?
It's a Barack Obama problem.
And in fact, what can't we do?
The President. President can declassify and all this other stuff. It comes down to the fact that if Obama was getting all of his emails through a BlackBerry, that email from from, you know, Hillary would have to be whitelisted. You know, it's not anything that just comes in through, you know, Gmail spam is not going to get through to the president's BlackBerry. And any government email is going to pass through without a problem because it's a secure network, supposedly, when the Chinese are taking advantage of it.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Go on a journey with me here for a quick second, Bravo.
Sure.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hate to interrupt you. But don't you remember that they had a really tough time getting Barack Obama's personal BlackBerry away from him?
Oh, yeah.
What if Hillary was just passing all this classified to his unsecure BlackBerry?
I'm sure that's what...
Peer-to-peer, person-to-person as well.
That's the truth. I mean, the hard truth is they didn't want to be held to account for what they were doing.
That's right.
Because they were hell-bent on basically destroying this country.
They were hell-bent on lining their own pockets, right? And this whole Russia, gin up the hatred for Putin. You know, Putin's a, you know, Trump's a puppet of Putin business. Oh, and then now the Ukraine thing and blah, 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 defend Ukraine at all costs kind of thing was to protect themselves.
So you would also have to have the press all on board with this.
Of course.
Which is what they were. So the press were on board with this. You had Google that was on board with this because I'm sure there was money going in there. In their direction. And Facebook. Right. So I have to say that this entire operation was to protect Obama, to keep him sacrosanct so that no one can touch, you know, that no one can bring down.
Well, he was the Messiah. You know, he was their Messiah. And, you know, listen, and that leads on to number three on the list quite nicely, actually. What happened in the past couple of weeks? The Durham report came out.
Right. And didn't we say this during a show that Attorney General, or excuse me, a special counsel, do not make reports. They file indictments. Well, there was only two indictments, which was enough to get, to implicate Hillary Clinton into what, you know, that she was the source of the Russia hoax and the funding source. But it also has come out that Obama is right in the crosshairs for the reason for this all to happen, because they didn't want Trump to uncover what he was doing.
Let's take that a step further, right?
Okay.
But let's go a step further. The Durham reports come out. You still got the propaganda media, the mainstream media out there covering and saying, well, oh, it's a big nothing, this, that, and the other thing. And it wasn't what we were expecting. And it wasn't what we were hoping for, I guess. I guess expecting and hoping for in this climate, maybe 30 years ago, when something like this happened, you would expect there to be indictments and trials and you know, get a rope kind of deal, because this is treason. This is treason. If you're going to indict and ruin somebody's life over taking a picture of a compartment of a submarine, you know, so the kid could have a picture, and you're going to throw that kid in a room and lock the room away because the picture showed nothing in particular. What happens when you're transferring between the highest government officials secrets that are classified? You know, Kilo, you understand how this works.
Yes.
What happens if you let the genie out of the bottle?
Well, I'll give you the standard HR answer. It depends, right? When I had access to classified information at very, very high levels, I signed a disclosure, and I was obligated to protect it. And if I made a mistake, we didn't have thumb drives back then. They were floppy disks or CDs or DVDs. We had your unclassified system, and then we had a classified system called the CIPRNet. If I took something off the CIPRNet and brought it over an air gap and put it onto an unclassified system and it was traced back to me, I could expect to spend the rest of my life in prison. And that was for a mistake.
That's right.
I was thinking, I was under pressure, I had multiple deadlines, the captain, the admiral, everybody was screaming at me. I made a mistake, I panicked. I'm going to prison for the rest of my life. when they had an unclassified server farm, and we knew that there was something sinister going on, something nefarious, and they knew that they were wrong. They knew it because they started destroying it when everything broke. Again, you sign a disclosure. If you don't follow proper procedures, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. When you knowingly violate that air gap, you are absolutely right, Alpha. That is treason. You are going out of your way, because what is one of the definitions of treason? In a nutshell, it's going out of your way to cause grievous harm to your government and the way of life that it represents. And anybody could have had sniffers up there and pulled that information off the unclassified web. You know, you type in cigar, and the next thing you know, your email is filling up with all kinds of... If it's that easy for something like that, people who really hate the United States and what we stand for have the technological know-how to bring it down. And well,
let's just say...
Yeah, this happened on President Obama's watch, and he is responsible for it.
Well, he's not. He's more than responsible for it. He was an active participant in it.
And anybody else, you know, they deposed Richard Nixon over Watergate, over a political scandal, over really what it came down to was what? Who was sleeping with whose wife? And we impeached a president and got rid of him because he didn't follow the rules. I think this is significant. The stakes are significantly higher. And it's allowed to continue because it's President Obama.
He can't do anything wrong, but the other part of it was that Nixon didn't want to tarnish the honor of the presidency, so he got out before they could file impeachment. But now impeachments are done like, you know, changing underwear. Well, they just true. Do them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nope, that's a good point.
Well, you know, and to add another layer of complexity to the situation, or to add another layer of drama, you've got, at some point, I believe in June, around the 20th-ish of June, I believe John Durham is scheduled to testify in front of the House Judiciary Committee.
Wow, that's going to be interesting.
Now, let's do a little what-if exercise here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Durham, the Democrats are going to, of course, try very hard to discredit him and whatever. We know their shtick, right?
I think it's more annoying when they use parliamentary procedure to muck up the thought process and then waste the majority's time, you know, while they're asking questions to, you know, get the chairman all messed up. But
I would expect a lot of that to be happening in public, in the public view. However, it's still not going to stop the message. Now let's just go on a little journey here. What if when Durham gets up on the stand for the Judiciary Committee and they ask him, well, you know, John, you spent $6 million on this investigation. You know, you indicted a couple of people for some minor stuff and really nothing happened to them. You know, what gives? And what if he were to say, well, I brought all the indictments to the Department of Justice and they refused to pursue it and they told me not to.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be a statement? He's going to get some airtime.
I think he'll get Vince Fostered.
Two to the back of head, suicided, and dragged on his toes? Yeah, that's totally possible.
Sense to put it in the right hand.
Right.
Jeez. Well, you know, this is crazy. I can't wait for that day when he gets up there and he starts talking. I think that's going to be must-see TV, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think CNN would do themselves some big favors by airing that entire hearing.
They won't. I think you're in the middle of a media blackout so that no one can get anything out at all. They're not talking about anything of substance. They're bringing up all this other BS right now. So there's nothing.
Wait a minute, Bravo. Brittany Griner actually standing for the national anthem is important. That's what we used to call in my former profession growth.
I would agree. I would agree. My, how the tables have turned. The turns have tabled.
The turns have tabled.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, they have.
But
it's amazing. It's just amazing to me. You know, you've got Durham comes out with a report that says the FBI had absolutely no reason to start this investigation. On the contrary, they had reason to look over here and do these other things. And you still got the Democrats carrying the water. They just can't take a bath on this stuff.
No, they can't take the loss. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to admit that they're all wrong? Forget it. There's no way. They're not going to do that.
Well, they've committed so many criminal acts that they can't. You know, you've got Schiff. You've got Schiff up there, and they're going after him for $16 million.
Good. Well, if there anything happens, is another story.
Well, I hope it does. Right. That fool will get reelected. He'll get reelected to the Senate next time.
Ugh.
From California. You know, they just love him out there. So, I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot that goes on that they try to hide, but there's some things that are going on that can't be hidden. Mm-hmm. You two jokers live in the great state of New York, right?
Empire State.
Geez, I really hope that your kids aren't going to a SUNY school next year because they might not have a dorm to stay in.
They're giving away to the illegal immigrants. Aliens. Illegal aliens. I know that's not supposed to what you're saying.
Well, the illegals are the well, what are they going to? You know, you got Eric, you know, that clown Eric Adams in New York City, and they're trying to, you know, they've roped themselves into this right to shelter law, right? Now they're trying to get it waived because what are they going to do? You've got whistleblowers from this Roosevelt Hotel, which is a 4-star hotel in Manhattan, to the best of my knowledge, coming out and saying they're absolutely destroying this hotel. They sit around all day long, drink and do drugs. That's all they do.
And
you're paying for it.
Go after you know, young teenagers, which is not cool.
How about those 80,000 IRS agents? They're coming after you and I to go pay for this crap, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess there's things out there in the world that we talk about what nobody sees. I think people are starting to see it, don't you?
I hope so. I mean, right now, what would a show be without me talking about Carrie Lake, which we didn't put this on the notes in the beginning, but the judge totally missed the boat on the evidence that was staring him right in the face. You know, the signature mismatches, the amount of ballots that, I don't know about you, Kilo, can you verify a signature with three other signatures in 0.3 seconds?
I cannot, but I lost all faith in this process when I retired from the Navy. My first couple of years at home, I was enjoying the retirement life, and I was starting to get a little weird, so I knew I needed to get out of the house. So I volunteered to be a poll inspector on election day. And what an enlightening experience that was. Do you know here in New York State, you can just walk up and, you know, walk up to the table and say, "Hi, I'm Joe Shit the Ragman, and I want to vote." And it doesn't matter if you have an ID.
Right.
And, I mean, the signature, when the signature doesn't match, I had the polling station supervisor say, "Well, they got older. They might have had a stroke or something." So I lost all faith in God. I don't know how it is in other states, but in this state, it's a kangaroo court.
Yeah.
Absolute kangaroo court.
And there was also talk that the elections here in New York have hidden election rolls. You know, there's hidden election rolls based, you know, like in hidden files so they can pull more voters for whoever they want to install, like Hochul, who is a total disaster.
Oh, she's worse than bad. She's just worse than bad. You know, listen, this entire country is in a mess. You've got Texas with a flood of illegals, and let's just call it what it is. These people are literally just walking across the border at this point. Our military is under orders, must be under orders to actually assist them, right?
Right. Must be.
Has to be.
Must be. They're putting them on buses. They're shipping them all over the place. You've got the governor of Texas down there with his National Guard, and he's like, he's like the little Dutch boy, putting his fingers everywhere across the river. He can't stop it. The federal government, you know, the Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, to protect the borders, we've completely thrown the rules out the window here. It's just complete and utter insanity to me. Yep. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody doesn't think that this is not going to cost us trillions of dollars, it's going to cause irreparable damage on multiple levels in this country, they're out of their minds. And you've got Democrats saying, we should just embrace all of these immigrants. Okay, put them in your house.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
No.
It's like, I'm all about tax. You know, let's raise taxes. You know, we got to raise taxes. The Trump tax cuts are hurting everybody. We should raise taxes. Okay, I want you to sign a pledge where you pay more taxes. Oh, I'm not going to sign that.
Of course not.
Of course not. They only pretend to be stupid.
Right.
Bunch of assholes.
Well, my advice for all of them is get that software. What do they call that? Rosetta Stone?
Yeah.
Software. And learn Mandarin Chinese. Because all of these disastrous policies and practices and procedures that is being perpetuated and allowed to happen. Don't worry about learning Spanish. The Chinese paratrooper are going to kill all them.
Right.
They're going to come, and there's not going to be a day. You know, when we were young and that movie Red Dawn came out, a lot of us laughed at it. But as time goes on, I don't laugh anymore.
Oh, now it's when they use the Russians. They use the Russians, not the North Koreans.
Right.
I never laughed at that. Oh. And Bravo will tell you, I always thought that that was a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
And that brings me to a real, let's put a point on the pencil here. Isn't it interesting that everybody coming across, there are very few women and children coming across, but there are tens of thousands of fighting age men from all over the world coming across the border?
It's an army.
How about that?
Isn't that special?
So if you think about it, if you ask why, and you notice that you cannot defend yourself anymore,
mm-hmm.
you're arrested, look at this poor Marine that tried to save people on a train from a lunatic, someone that really clearly didn't know how to put a sock in his mouth and stop talking and threatening people. And because he died after the fact, probably from something known as excited delirium, which is a condition where you have release large amounts of epinephrine in your body. And whether it's drugs or, excited delirium actually can cause heart attacks in people that don't have good hearts, or they have poor circulation, or they're susceptible to dysrhythmias, like your heart going into the funky chicken and you die. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're all blaming him on a chokehold when he was putting him in. He was still breathing at the time he went down, and he was placed in the recovery position, and he died later at the hospital. That's called excited delirium. There's a syndrome known as that. So let's call facts facts here. The left sees this as a great opportunity to hang this poor Marine from his bootstraps and take it out on him so that he doesn't have to, because they need a narrative.
Well, it's all about castrating the real men in this country from standing up and doing something about what's happening.
Right. Because,
as an armed citizen, right, are you going to take your firearm out and defend a perfectly good stranger, even though you may have every green light on the face of the planet and in every universe to go ahead and to apply deadly force to end a situation to keep somebody from getting hurt? The answer is hell fucking no.
I had this conversation with my mother this morning. We have a routine every Memorial Day. We go and we take care of the gravestones of our family members and friends, and it takes us a good 3-4 hours because I'm at the stage in life where, I've got more under the ground than I have above the ground. And we were having breakfast this morning, and I had told her, I said, it makes me very sad sometimes to think about how things used to be. My friends and I used to enjoy going to, we used to have a lot of shopping malls around here,
I won't go in a mall anymore. Not unless it opens first thing in the morning when I know all the folks that are drugged up are sleeping. They don't normally get up till about 2 or 3 o'clock. I won't go in a shopping mall. Can't tell you the last time I went to a movie theater. Because you honestly, it's not the responsible gun owners, armed citizens. They're like us. You know, they don't unholster that weapon.
Nope.
But even if you do in the state of New York, if you don't even have to pull the trigger. If you pull it out of the holster, you're going to prison.
Yes. Look at what they did to all those Minneapolis police officers over a guy named George Floyd who killed himself with fentanyl.
Right.
Even the guys, the probationary officers that showed up on the scene all got prosecuted.
Yep.
And look what happened after that. They just burned the city down to the ground. So, you know what? None of this is an accident.
And they're allowed to do it.
This is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Our side of the aisle may hold a lot of cards as far as capabilities, okay? But their side of the aisle certainly does control the administrative bureaucracy and the state.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. I'll stand up against any man, any time, any place, don't care, with a gun in my hand, gun in your hand. That's a straight up fight. But when you get into a fight with these people, you cannot win.
No.
They will bankrupt you. They will imprison you. They will take away everything that you ever worked for in your entire life. They will not lose a minute's sleep. They have unlimited resources, time, and they have the media. They will ruin you.
They'll destroy you. That's what they do.
Right, right, wrong, or indifferent, you're ruined.
Yep.
They don't care.
So I guess the best thing to do is move on in New York.
Well, you know, there's a lot to that. You know, listen, you know, let's move along a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk, you know, you got an election coming up in 24, right?
Oh yeah.
They're already talking about
trying to frame President Trump so he can't run, right? They want to indict him. And this person was allowed to lie on the stand in a civil court case where they're telling President Trump he has to pay $5 million to a jury that totally lost its ever-loving mind and didn't take facts into consideration and allowed blind avarice and hatred to control their verdict. It's disgusting.
Well, it is disgusting, but what's even more interesting right now is you have the primary field starting to expand, right?
Yes. You got DeSantis, you have Tim Scott, you've got Vivek Ramaswamy, is that how you say his name?
Ramaswamy,
thank you.
He's got some good ideas.
Nikki Haley, you can keep her. I'm not really too fond on, you know, she's
a grifter.
Yeah, exactly. She'll make up stories to suit her needs. Who else do you have that's running? Oh, Pence wants to get in there too. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I don't agree with what he did on January 6th, but okay.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of anything that happened on January 6th.
Nope.
Let me be honest with you. No, I don't care who you are. That was just a shit show from the start, and it was a setup. And unfortunately, everybody took the bait on that one. And that's the bludgeon that they're going to use against us because, you know, we're terrorists now. But, you know, listen, you've got the governor of the state of Florida, like the free state of Florida, and I'm not going to take anything away from Ron DeSantis. He's most definitely a viable candidate. Do I think that he would be the best person to take the helm for the Republicans on the next go around? I don't think so. And let me tell you why. And I'd like to hear, you know, your opinions. I want somebody in there that has got nothing left to lose. I'm looking for vengeance at this point because of what these people have done. The Durham report should have showed everybody what these people did. What these people did on the left side of the aisle, that was an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
It was a coup.
Yes, it was.
And Donald Trump was right the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And the coup continued into the 2020 election with every federal agency meddling in the elections.
Yes.
Now the courts are meddling in the elections at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron DeSantis, as good a governor as he's been for the state of Florida, and I don't care. Everyone says, well, he doesn't have the charisma. I don't give a shit if you're charismatic or not. I think a few more years, he will be ready and he will be a good dude. Right now, I want bull in a china shop.
Yep. I agree. But I have to ask the question, why when Governor DeSantis was asked about this possibility that he would run, you know, he goes ahead and he changes a law in Florida that actually took some legislative chutzpah to change and get the ability to run while you're still governor. There's a law against that in Florida, and he changed it. And then you have to ask yourself, why would he say that he's not going to do it, and all of a sudden he does do it? There's someone that has to be running him as a puppet. You know, he's acting as a puppet. And I'm guessing George Soros has something to do with it.
I wouldn't say Soros has got anything to do with it. I think that there's some bad actors on the right-hand side of the aisle, too.
So the rhinos are in charge of this because they don't want Trump.
I think
again.
So. I think so.
Because here's the bottom line. You have a large machine of corruption and money laundering going on both sides of the aisle. It's not just Democrats, it's not just Republicans. It's anyone that has, you know, some kind of increase in their bank statement that you can't explain because they didn't win the lottery. All right? So you have huge amounts of money and power, raw, unadulterated power that these people wield all over the place. And they forgot one important thing. I always tell my students this all the time. Don't forget where you came from. And what did these people do? They forgot where they came from. They're not serving the people. They're serving themselves. And that's why we're in the predicament we're in. And that goes to both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats.
I agree. I want Trump to come in like a wrecking ball, and I want everybody fired. However, before that happens, can you imagine the hell that they're going to unleash on everybody before that takes place?
Well, I don't know that it would be a civil war, but I think it would be close. You go around, go to the grocery store, go to the big orange store to buy a piece of lumber, and look at the faces of most people. And there is an undercurrent of rage. Being the simpleton that I am, the best way I can say it is people have had enough. And when the last presidential election took place, everybody knew it wasn't right. I was one of the folks that stayed up all night, had my alarm set every 15 minutes, waking up, looking at the numbers. The numbers didn't make sense. And I believe it was manipulated by the deep state. Because the word got put out there that, you know, Donald Trump was a divider. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But his successor certainly hasn't been a unifier. And I do believe that if we're going to survive as a nation, we need a unifier. And I think, as you say, if you know, playing the what-if game, if Donald Trump gets reelected as president, from November until January, all areas of the civil service bureaucracy at all levels will be destroyed. Very similar to the cutesy-wootsy little games they played when George W. Bush was elected president. They took all the W's off the keyboards on the computers. You know, very childish things like that. But it's going to be the scope of magnitude, the scale of magnitude is going to be something we've never seen before in this country. And the police have been rendered like eunuchs. You look at military recruiting, They can't get very many people to sign up. And who in their right mind would want to? I was enthusiastic. I celebrated the 30-year anniversary of my commissioning this past Monday. 30 years ago Monday, I raised my hand, and I bled red, white, and blue. I can't imagine anybody volunteering to do it now. I wouldn't want my children to sign up. This is madness.
It's so very frightening, isn't it?
It's terrifying. We're not ready if the Chinese paratroopers come.
Well,
The military itself has been gutted. All the warriors have been sent out to pasture or jail.
That's right.
You know, folks like a recognized expert in a certain skill set, they try to take your guns away from you at every single day. Like, you can't even defend yourself and your family. Like, this is madness.
Yeah, this is definitely not the country I grew up in. No. And you know, we've got big problems.
Huge.
And if anybody out there in the world, you know, we're talking about, you know, an election coming up, and you've got a number of candidates that are out there that are magnitudes better than what we have now, Donald Trump being obviously one of them. There's something that nobody's really talking about.
And that
does anybody think for 1 minute that the Chinese are going to wait to invade Taiwan until a Republican president is elected?
Absolutely not.
I think that's a
absolutely
safe bet. Because if they wait for President Trump to take back the reins in the presidency, they're going to be a sorry hurting unit. If they could do it now, Biden's going to let them do it.
Exactly. He's not going to do anything.
He's not going to do it. And if something happens to him, you know, can you imagine President Harris going to the negotiating table with the Chinese?
Not even.
This is that 1984 Red Dawn scenario, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we're going to be invaded in the continental United States. That would be a very, very bad idea. However, we could be crippled in a number of other different ways that we could talk about another time. I don't think that the Chinese are stupid enough to wait to see what happens in the next election. I think something bad is going to happen sooner rather than later. And I can tell you from personal experience, I'm engaged with the military. I do business with a certain agency that's a procurement wing for the military, and I'm here to tell you, they don't have any money. They don't have any money. Mm. They're not buying anything. They have no money. Every penny that we have is sending shit to Ukraine. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars have gone to Ukraine. And we have a budget discussion that's going on right now that does maintain military spending, and it makes cuts in certain other areas, and what the Republicans have proposed is a decent start, but they have a very short amount of time to conclude those negotiations before, you know, something, you know, potentially frightening to the American public happens. But I'm here to tell you, our military is not in any kind of shape to participate in a volleyball tournament. No matter, you know, look, let's just be truthful. Does this country have the stomach to go to war again?
No.
Do we have the money to go to war? No.
Well, they'll print it if they really want to.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, we don't have the equipment either. We left a good portion of that in Afghanistan not that long ago.
Well, right. We created the world's best armed terrorist organization.
Yep.
Anybody ever stop to think about that for a minute?
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Moving along.
Move along.
Oh, everybody involved in that shit should be immediately hung for treason.
Well, summarily executed.
So, will we ever see that? I'm not holding my breath, but no. You know, like the age of accountability is gone, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to see anything like that anytime soon. And until the moral bankruptcy of this country is fixed. We're on the downhill slide to insolvency and oblivion.
Well, we can see it right now in the markets, but you know, we got to move along here. We've been at this for a minute here. You know, there's a news item out there also that nobody's really talking about, and you know, when we look at the totality of the control that the government wants to exert over its citizens and its willingness to want to blame, you know, Republicans for being domestic terrorists, it really frightens me that there's 30 tons of ammonium nitrate on the lam that nobody can put their finger on. You know what 30 tons of ammonium nitrate can do?
Not fertilize a lot of fields, you were telling me.
No, I mean, it's a good amount of fertilizer, but it's not a good amount of fertilizer. It makes a better bomb than a fertilizer, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this shit's just kind of floating around in the ether. You've got a sensitive administration whose main goal is to neuter and disarm the American people and to polarize everybody against the right of this country. And you've got these Patriot Front idiots out there that they're trying to, the feds, they're trying to associate with us. You know, hey, nothing to see here.
Again.
Nothing to see here.
Well, that just puts a kibosh on the mood here, doesn't it?
Well, the good news is we're consistent.
Mm.
Well, and that's pretty much it. I mean, we've been at this. There's no good news out there, everybody, except, you know, the weather's warming up a little bit. But
I respectfully disagree, Alpha. The good news is that there's folks like you and Bravo and others out there that want to have the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, on the political front, there are some candidates that are coming into the fray that are willing to have a discussion and want to try to bring people together. Whether they're going to be allowed to do it, I don't know. Will the Democrats allow Bobby Kennedy to primary and have a debate and discuss the issues? I don't know.
I don't think so.
But the good news is he's willing to try. And he doesn't have to. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. And I certainly don't agree with everything politically.
No.
But I would certainly rather work for a President Kennedy than another President Biden or a President Harris.
Well, I think Kennedy's got some fairly solid ground to stand on.
Right.
First thing is, if there's anybody out there with an axe to grind against the CIA, that would be him.
Well, he may have an issue or two.
Maybe one or two.
So to me, again,
yeah,
that's the good news. We haven't become so apathetic where we've all thrown our hands up, put the powder near the door, you know, guns across our lap while we're watching televisions that still work. You know, there's still people willing to fight it. We can fix it. It's going to take a lot of work. But it's not hopeless yet. It's rapidly heading there.
Well, we're definitely in a mess. And on that note, you know, I think we need to wrap this up for today. There is some good news. Kilo brings up an excellent point. You know, we're pretty optimistic that our fellow citizens will stand up to the next challenge. You know, we're Americans. We're resilient, and we can handle it. However, at the same time, you know, we've got to stay vigilant because I think there's a lot of force of evil out there working against us.
Yep. But here at the Signal 50 podcast, we will continue to shout out the hashtag Our Truth of all this so that at least someone is going to have some institutional memory around here.
And live our lives to give the devil the finger.
That's right.
Well, on that note, wish everybody an honored Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
Remember all those that have fallen before us to bring us the liberties that we still have for however much longer that lasts. So we thank you and their families, the ones that are left behind. It's the toughest part, right?
That's true. If you get a chance, please share the show.
Yep.
Tell your friends about it. Share, you know, send a link to your friends also. Say, hey, listen to this, see what they think, and let us know. Give us an email or check out our website. The Alpha Bravo Report is still there. And yes, people are looking at it. Not a lot, but there are people looking at it.
Well, that's good news. Kilo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks
and on
for
that note,
me, fellas.
No problem, anytime. And on that note, we'd like to thank our soldiers, sailors, and airmen for protecting us 24/7, 365. Everybody that's deployed out there around the world doesn't care about the politics. We care about you. And for our police, fire, and EMS, you be careful out there. Things are really dangerous in the inner cities. We want you to come home after every shift in one piece. So thanks a lot, everybody. Make it a great day.
Take care, everyone.